Amen, amen, amen. I have to declare, as the word says and the Lord has said today, today is your day.
My God.
Today is your day. If you are listening to this word live or with us on Zoom, or you will hear it at another time, today is your day.
Yeah.
The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants to deliver you. The Lord wants to impart his wisdom upon you. The Lord wants you to be free of your pain and your agony. The Lord wants you to be free of any thought of defeat.
My God.
The Lord wants you today to know that you live, and that not only you live, but you live victoriously. You reign supreme. He said, I told you, we're surrounded by God. That's the way we fight our battles in prayer, because we're surrounded by God. He wants you to know that the victory belongs to Jesus, and victory belongs. He says, who can stand against the Lord? He said, who can stand against the King? He said, and he declares, no one can. No one can. So if no one can stand against Jesus, and no one can stand against the Lord, and no one could stand against the King, who are all the same person, how can they stand against you when you have the King? Somebody needs to receive that today. That is the truth. They might throw stumbling blocks in your way. They might throw some roadblocks in your way. They might throw some pain and some agony. They might make you shed some tears, but they cannot win, because victory belongs to Jesus. So in the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus, you ought to say, in the name of Lord, you got all my situation. Lord, you
got all my problems.
Whether I write it down on a piece of paper, I just surrender. Lord, you got it all. So I'm going to walk in victory. I'm walking in joy today. I'm walking in peace today. I'm walking by the hand of the Almighty. So thank you today, Lord God. And we're going to see this in the Word. God's going to show us something in the Word where he gave somebody opportunity to speak, and it happened, y'all. It happened, y'all. Like it happened back then, it will happen for you and I today.
Amen.
So we invite you to the book of 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel. Yes, this is Old Testament, but we will end up in the New, the book of 1 Samuel, and go to chapter 7. Go to chapter 7, then find verse 3. And when you find verse 3, we'll read a few there and then drop down and find verse 10, because we're going to go from there. 1 Samuel, verses 3 through 6 and 10 through 12. And when you have it, somebody just say amen. It's on the screen if you watch it on the screen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this word reads, this word reads, it is just such a wonderful thing. It is such a wonderful thing. It is such a wonderful thing. It says, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Astaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Astaroth, and serve the Lord only. They turn around, y'all. They made a 180. They put that stuff away. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Verse 10 says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. The enemy was on its way. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto have the Lord helped us. Hitherto have the Lord helped us. And just so you know today, the word the Lord said, the Lord wants to remind you, the Lord helps us.
My God.
The Lord helps us. Y'all love to talk about, you know, I hear people all the time talk about how the Lord did some things, and they love to talk about Jehoshaphat and how he sent out the prayer team, the praise team, and say, you won't even have to fight in this battle. But I come to tell you that this point, this passage of scripture said they didn't have to fight either.
My God.
He didn't say, I sent the praise team. He just said, you just repent to what you're doing, and guess what? Everything's going to be all right. But when they were coming to get you, to destroy you, guess what? I didn't even let them get there. I turned them around and made a run before they got. We're going to get to that.
Lord.
I don't want to get ahead, but God has been fighting our battles all along. The Lord helps us. Did you not hear the testimony of how the Lord helps us to help those and help others? That's what I'm talking about.
The Lord helps us.
And so today, when we think about all that God is and all that we're going through and all the situations that you don't want nobody to know and your deepest fears and your deepest doubts and your deepest pains and your deepest concerns and the struggles that would be embarrassing if people knew that you were going through. When you think about all of that, and maybe you're not there, maybe you've got such a wonderful place and everything is so good, and maybe you're thinking about, how come I don't do more? Whatever it is, I don't care what side of the ledger, but whenever you think about how good God is and how ungrateful you might think you are, but when you know that God is good, just understand the Lord helps us.
Yes.
No matter what the situation is.
Thank you, Lord.
Today, I want you to understand that before I say this first point, we understand that there's a war going on today, right?
Amen.
We understand there's a war, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. And we understand who the enemy is, right? We know the enemy is Satan, right? And his henchmen, Amen. Those who have surrendered to God. And we understand that his tactics to go are to bring about what? Doubt and fear. And those tactics come what? Based on not the truth, but based on what? Lies.
Yes.
When the enemy attacks us, it's based on a lie. It is not based on the truth. Well, one of the things I found interesting as I was studying and God was planting things in my mind and telling me what to say, as he said, you know, we are such intelligent people that the enemy, a long time ago, long before we were even born, start planting ways to deceive us that would be acceptable to us.
Now, hear me now.
Long before any of us were born, the enemy created a situation about lies that would be able to attack us today based on what we do and how we operate. So many years ago, and I don't have the exact year, but it was way back in the 1900s, the enemy created this thing. A lie is a lie, right? Well, it wasn't just a lie. He created this situation where they began to classify lies. And what he did is he said there were white lies and then there were lies. And, you know, if you look at what a white lie was, and this has got some undertone to it, so understand it, said white lies were classified was to say it's a lie about a small or unimportant matter that somebody tells to what? Avoid hurting another person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, I can tell this because I don't want you to know the truth. Let me give you an illustration. I'm talking to you and you just all up in my face and your breath stinking. I ain't going to say nothing to you. Your breath is kicking, right? And I'm going to say, oh, everything is good. My nose hairs are turning. My face is contorting. But you good, girl. And I'm not even going to offer you a mint or a piece of gum or nothing. Let me get down. That was fictitious, right? That's fictitious. Let me tell you, well, a white lie is just a little something like, I used to be told by my mama to tell the Jehovah's Witnesses. They'd knock on the door, and my mother used to tell her, I ain't home. I don't want to embarrass them. I don't want to take the time. Just tell them I ain't home. And I can remember the day I used to do it when I was younger, but all of a sudden God said, don't do that. And I was 15 and they knocked on the door. She in here. My mom said, I told you to tell mom. I said, Mama, I can't tell a lie. You tell me all the time not to tell a lie. Well, that's just a little white lie. I can't tell a lie, Mama. Mm. And I thought I was in deep trouble. But what God did was he began to change her to say, no, don't tell him I hope. Just tell him to come on in. Now, this thing about white lies and black lies was systematic of our society. But it was planted for a reason, because the enemy knew that later on in life, where we are today, we would be okay with white lies as long as it wasn't a real lie.
Mm. My God.
Oh, I don't want to come on your street. I don't want to drink your Kool-Aid. But you know some of the lies we believe. You know some of the lies we believe. Oh, let me tell you what's just a little white lie that the enemy's been trying to tell us. He ain't concerned about your job. He ain't concerned about your health. He got bigger issues. He ain't concerned about, you know, you got an ache in your back. He ain't concerned that you won't stand up to tell the truth about things that are wrong. Y'all know the rest of the story. You know the things that are going on in your life and you believe that God don't care. Oh, he just told one to somebody just this past week. He said, look, your husband or your wife, they don't care about you. Mm. They're only concerned with them. Oh, he just told you, said, your neighbors around you, they so full of hate, they don't care about you. Oh, there was another one this week, and I prayed for Bubba Wallace, because as he was out there to try and race after all the support he got, he went to the race this week, and there were Confederate flags all in the everywhere. Stand, and every time they announced his name, people booed him, and then when he crashed, they were applauding. Hey, they don't care, Bubba. Mm-mm. That was all a scam. Some of us have been there.
Terrible.
You've been there. Somebody said they love you, and when you needed something, they ain't there to help. Somebody said they love you, and you know, they got your back, and when you called on the phone, the line was busy, and you didn't get a return phone call. You didn't even get a return text. They tell you how important you are in your job, and we'll never do this, and next thing you know, you got a red slip, a pink slip. Mm. You know the lie. Oh, your church, they care for you, but that's what they ain't going to do nothing. They just show up on Sunday like we all do, and they go home and they don't think about you the rest of the week. Those are the lies that the enemy planted. Hey, there will never be peace on earth. They said there will be 100% peace, but there is some peace on earth, because everywhere the presence of Jesus is, there is peace.
My God.
So these were lies that the enemy was strategically planting years ago for such a time like this. But can I tell you, God's got you covered.
Hallelujah.
God's got you covered. So the first thing we understand is the first one, that God's help started before your sorrow. Mm. Now, I don't have time to go through chapters 1-6. I really don't have time to go through chapters 1-6, but I want you to read chapters 1. I'm just going to hit a few high points to see there was somebody who had favor with God, and her name was Hannah. And Hannah had favor with God, and she was married. And when Hannah got married, he had another wife. But Hannah couldn't have no children. But even though children were important, Hannah's husband loved her, that he gave her the best portion of all that he had. That's how much his love was for her. But Hannah couldn't see that was enough. Hannah kept saying, but wait a minute, you got children over here, and according to the world, hey, y'all understand the world, we see your blessing as your children. So your other wife got sons, and you got sons, but I ain't got no children, so my sorrow is big. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter if she had more material things. Didn't matter that he loved her more than anybody else. There was nothing that took her away from her sorrow. Mm-hmm. And her adversary in verse 6 and verse chapter 1, it said, her adversary, this is the enemy, y'all, told her a little white lie, also provoked the sword for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. The adversary told her a little white lie. Say, your womb is shut up and you ain't got no children. But the adversary didn't know the truth of what God can do.
My God.
So he told her what he thought was a big lie, but it was just a little lie. It was a little white lie. Way back in Bible time, he said, see there, Hannah, you ain't like her. You ain't like her. You ain't got one to call your own. So we go on, and when you read Samuel in them first six chapters, we realize that when she came to Eli and herself, there was something about Hannah. And I got to tell you now, God knows there's something about you right now that you're in a sorrowful place. He knows whatever it is that won't allow your joy to come out. He knows whatever the situation is that got you doubting. He knows whatever the situation is that got you listening to the adversary and his little means or his little lies or his little words that come from somebody or the stares that they might give you. He knows already. But say, Eli noticed that she had a sorrowful spirit. But Hannah knew one thing, and she needs to know. We need to know what Hannah knew. Hannah knew that if she prayed. So in chapter 1, verse 11, it said, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, O God, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but would give unto thy handmaid a man child. She didn't say just a child. She wanted a man child, a male child. Then he said, but if you do this, God, I want a child so bad. The Lord, if you give me a child, say what? I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life.
Jesus.
Now, I don't know if you see the irony in this. Say, I will give him to you and never let a razor all the days of his life. Now, how many of you ladies, I just got to ask this question because I'm just curious. How many of you would say, give me a child, but then the minute you had that child and weaned that child, you give him away? Yeah. I ain't getting no amens up in here. I hear you. But that's what Hannah was saying. She said, you let me have a child so that I know I got a child. You will take away my sorrow and my pain, and I will give him to you.
Yes.
That's some kind of prayer, y'all. Some kind of prayer, y'all. How often have we prayed, Lord, if you let me, Lord, if you give me, Lord, if you provide, I will do. Don't answer if you haven't done what you said you would do, because there's an opportunity for what? You to fulfill what you said. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we understand that was the story. We understand. And Hannah prayed. And he's what? We know that if you keep reading through verses 2, chapter 2 through 6, that what? Hannah had a child. He blessed her with a child. And she named that child Samuel. And he named that child Samuel. And guess what? He took her and he took Samuel after she had weaned him and gave Samuel to Eli to be reared for the Lord. That's the truth, y'all. That's the truth. Yeah. But there's some things happening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Marcia, for your testimony. Because we read that when Samuel was a little boy, there was a night that Samuel was sleeping. And Samuel was sleeping and he heard a voice. And he heard a voice, and the first time he thought it came from Eli. And he said, yes, sir. Eli said, I didn't call you. And he went back and then he heard it again. And he said, yes, sir. And he heard a voice when he didn't know what the voice was. Eli said, I ain't called you. Go back to sleep. And then he heard a voice a third time. And Eli said, uh-oh, somebody get it. Somebody's being called. The guy said, go back. Everything's going to be all right. And then he heard a voice again. And who did he know it was? He knew it was the Lord.
Yes.
So hallelujah, my spirit jumped. Yes, Sister Marcia, in the midst of all the chaos and craziness, your niece heard the voice of God. Say, you ain't no doubt about it. When you hear God, you know it's God and nobody else.
My Lord.
I don't care how old you are, how young you are. When you hear God, you know it's God.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we find that these things took place. So what? We know that Samuel got his calling, and then Samuel grew older, and we understand that Samuel was ministering to Eli, and when Eli was getting older and couldn't see, Samuel was there and said, look, That's all right. That's good stuff, y'all. That's good stuff. And as we fast forward, we realize that what? When Eli had to go, then Samuel took over. And when Samuel took over, Samuel proclaimed the word of the Lord. But we also understand that when Samuel died, there were some problems because his sons weren't no good. They didn't do what God said. So there was trouble. So when Eli took over, I mean, when Samuel took over, the children of Israel were in captivity. The children of Israel were in trouble. The Ark of the Covenant had been taken. The Philistines had it. And the Philistines didn't understand what was going on. Because when they messed with the Ark of the Covenant, which was God, some bad things happened. You'll see that in chapter 4 and in chapter 5. But it said the hand of the Lord was upon him. And then that's going to bring us all the way up to where we are today. God helps us. And so we find Samuel's got a situation that the children of Israel need to be delivered. And so it said they came and fetched the ark and begin the chapter 7. And it said, and so then when they came to pass where the ark abode in Kethar Judah. And it says what? That the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The ark of the covenant, which represents the presence of God, was gone from them for 20 years in this place. And that would bring us to where we are today. And it says what? And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if ye do, Samuel has some instructions, y'all. And it looks like this. So what do you do? What do you do? What do I do in the midst of my trouble? Point number two. What do you do? Well, it's right here. We do what Samuel told the children of Israel to do. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord. Ooh. Why? Because they had turned away from God. Ooh, because they were struggling in believing the little white lies, which aren't little white lies, they're big lies, because they were running after their own thoughts, their own minds, their own wisdom, their own knowledge, and not after God. I got to tell you that most of our troubles in many cases sometimes come about because we are not totally surrendered and given over to God. We've tried to fix it on our own. He said, but look, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, he don't want a fourth, an eighth, a half, three quarters, five-eighths, 15/16. He says what? With all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and asterisks from among you and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. And he will do what? He will deliver you out of them. Out of the hand of the Philistine. Say, when you do this, I just come to tell us today, as the Lord said, this is true. We got to put away the other gods.
My Lord.
Your degrees, your knowledge, your trust in you, your friendships, your money, the lie that says this ain't important and that ain't important, that's them and not me. We got to put away these other gods. Mm-hmm. Your political party, that's a god.
My God.
Well, Republican, Democrat, Independent, that's a god. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it causes us to do stuff that ain't of God.
Mercy, Lord.
And when it happens, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's God and God only.
Yes.
That's the reason we got so much division among the body of Christ today, because these other gods are in the middle. I'm not saying some of the work that we have to do should not be done. I'm saying, but we make that more important than God, then all of a sudden now we're out of order. And Samuel said, put away these things. Said then, look at number 4, verse 4, it said, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Asherah and serve the Lord only. Yes. They were obedient. And Samuel said, gather all Israel and Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. They gathered together to Mizpah. In other words, they came together, they prayed, they repented, they drew water, poured it out before God, and fasted on that day. We have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged because they repented, now they were set free.
My God.
See, here's one of the lies we've been believing. God ain't concerned that I told a little lie. God ain't concerned that I didn't speak to somebody he told me to speak to. That's just a little thing. It'll be all right. I'll get them next time. God ain't concerned if my attitude is pretty open and liberal. I love everybody. Absolutely, we love everybody. But you love God more than everybody. So just because someone's doing something that you love that you know is not right by God, you can't love what they do. Somebody. But love conquers it all. I said, but they repented. So what do we do in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of our troubles? We need to repent. For yes. Then when we repent, we eliminate any bridge that separates us from hearing the pureness and truth of God. We don't want to repent. Well, God's already saved me. I ain't got to repent for nothing. God never said stop repenting. He covered it and paid the price for it so that we won't die from our sins, but he has never told us to stop repenting and confessing our faults. Because God wants us to be pure and undefiled. He wants us to come before him with a clean heart. And the only way to have a clean heart is to deny what we've done. It's to acknowledge what we've done wrong. And to do that is to deny ourselves. And do what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So because they repented, because they were in their place, I want you to notice in between verse 6 and verse 10 that some things started happening. And when the Philistine, see, when your enemy heard or hears that you're gathered together and that you're doing some things to what? To let God have control, the enemy comes after you. Verse 7 said, when the Philistine heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistine went up against Israel, and the children of Israel heard it. That they what? They were afraid. The enemy's coming to get you. I'll use myself. I won't use nobody else. When my back was healed and I went through a procedure, every now and then I move a certain way and I feel a pain in my back. And my first thought is that the enemy's about to attack again. And guess what? Then I'm in trouble. That's the first thought, because he's trying to make me deny what God has said. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord takes over and says, well, I told you your back's okay. So if your back's okay, do what I tell you to do. So what do I do, Lord? He said, go do this stretch. Go sit out over here, or just keep doing, because this is passing through. And when I do what he says, the pain is gone.
Yes.
I don't look at the trouble that's on the way. They heard the Philistines were coming back to get them again. And so because of that, we got to understand that when they offered their sacrifice, when we pray, we have to believe what's about to happen. And here's where it gets good. Thirteen, the Lord helps us. He helped them here in verse 10 through 12. That even before the Philistines got there, right? Even before the Philistines got there, look what God did. While Samuel had offered the burnt offering and they cried unto the Lord heard him. Say, God heard Samuel in verse 9. Verse 10 says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, from the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. They got close, y'all. They were on our doorsteps almost. Look at what God did. Say, the Lord, not Israel, not Samuel, not any soldier. The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. Hey, the Lord sent his natural, biological, his natural, supernatural army to do what? To take care. And the Philistines, when they heard the thunder and they heard the roar from heaven, then what? No man or no woman said what? It made them confused. It discomfited them. And they were what? Smitten before. And they were so scared. They were so afraid. They couldn't fight no more. Did you hear? Man didn't do nothing. God did it all.
My God.
Stop them in their tracks. It said, then look at what it said. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, pursued the Philistine, and smote them. The Philistines were bigger. The Philistines were badder, but they were all confused. God had already taken care of them. They were out of their mind, and they were so scared that the men of Israel just went and took over. So they just went out and took them all.
Thank you, Lord.
Came under Beth Car. And so look. So because of the victory, Samuel said, Lord, we prayed and you took care of it. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Samuel said, look, I got to mark this place. I got to show us a reminder. That's why we put up monuments and reminders to certain things. He said, I want you to know. He said, look, look, the Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shannon, called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto had the Lord helped us. Said, God has helped us. See, God has been with us and God is going to be for us. And that's not the only time he did it. Somebody remember, Samuel had to remember. He heard the history. Go to Exodus 23 and 22. It says, what? But if thou should indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will what? Be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversary. God said, guess what? If you obey me and follow me, your enemy's got an enemy now. Your enemy got an adversary. They got someone they can't hear.
My God.
Oh, didn't y'all see that? Didn't y'all hear that earlier?
My God.
The enemy was trying to take Sister Pam's niece out with something she had no concept of what was going on.
My God.
I got three babies. I'm busy. I'm young. Ain't supposed to be thinking about gallbladder in there. The enemy was trying to take her out. Look, yes. And she had gotten sick and couldn't do what she had to do. There were some babies that were going to miss their mama and her husband. But God said, well, wait a minute, baby. Somebody told me to tell you, you having back pain? Go to the hospital because guess what? I just went through and the Lord helped me.
Yes.
Amen. And look at how the Lord helped her.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, that's God's promise to us. He promises that he will be an enemy to our enemies and an adversary to our adversary. You don't have to stop there. You don't have to stop there. Look at what he says in Deuteronomy. He said, without goest out to battle against thine enemies, see horses and chariots and the people more, be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought you out of Egypt. It shall be when you come nigh into battle that the priest shall have spoke. So approach and speak unto the people. They shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day to battle against your enemies. Let not your heart be faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified. For the Lord your God is going with you, fight for you against your enemies to save you. We are not be afraid of this stuff we see today, because guess what? It ain't got no effect, because if we're for the Lord will fight this battle. He'll fight corona. Yes. He'll fight political prejudice. He'll fight racism. He'll fight doubt. He'll fight fear. He'll fight whatever. We just got to be making sure we're where the Lord wants us to be.
Yes.
Now there's a warning. If you hate racism, but you practice racism, you're in a difficult place.
My Lord.
Well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. No, 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 no. We got to do what thus says the Lord. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do, is what thus saith the Lord. You don't have to stop there. Look at what happened. Look at, you remember Deborah and Barak, right? Said, look, said in Judges 5:1-3, this saying, and you need to read the whole fifth chapter of Judges, the whole fifth chapter of Judges to get the full impact. Say, this saying, Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise. They gave praise unto God for his deliverance, because guess what? He delivered Israel. He had delivered your people. You ought to be singing praises. Sometimes I just ask myself, well, Lord, where are the praises at? You are just so good. You're so awesome. We got to be singing some praises sometimes. Y'all, your house ought to be full. Your house ought to be overjoyed. Every room ought to have a praise in it. Every door ought to have a praise over it. Every time you open your refrigerator and you take it, oh, thank you, Lord God. It's not your bank account. It's because God has blessed you. He fought for you long time ago when you had nothing. Now you got something.
My God.
The Lord helps us. The Lord helps us. The Lord helps us. The Lord helps us. And you don't have to stop there. You don't have to stop there. Go to, I'm sorry, I'm moving the screen on y'all. The Lord helps us. Go to 2 Chronicles. And when you go to 2 Chronicles and you look at what it says, say, ye shall not, what? 2 Chronicles 20, you know the story. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you.
Yes.
O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against us, for the Lord will be with you. Then in verse 22, and then when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten.
Yes.
Oh, it gets better, y'all. It gets better, y'all. It gets better, y'all. It gets better, y'all. If you look at Joshua, if you look at Joshua, the 10th chapter, I come to tell you that only time God has allowed man to speak to the natural elements, and the elements listen to man because man was listening to God. When Joshua said, in Joshua 10, he said, and it came to pass that they fled from before Israel and were going down to Bethoron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and what, they died. There were more which died with hailstones than whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then it says, look at verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children. He said, look, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. Joshua spoke to the sun because God gave him the power, and the sun stood still. He spoke to the moon, and the moon in the valley, and the moon stood still. He said, it stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon it, until God had given them a butt whooping that was enough for them to take. God said, sun be still, moon be still, and allow Joshua to have a good time. Do you hear what I said? Joshua spoke to the sun. Joshua spoke to the moon because God told him to.
Yes.
And we running scared. My God, who made the heavens and earth, permitted man to speak to the sun and the sun stopped. My God, who what made the heavens and earth, allowed man to speak to the moon and the moon didn't go down. Y'all know it rises and it goes down. We see it every day. And that's what we believe. And that's what scientists say because of rotation. Joshua spoke and it stood still.
Yes.
They had extra time to go get the good stuff that God had for them. Do not you know we should have been dead and gone, but God has given us extra time.
Hallelujah.
That's a shout for somebody. You should have been dead.
My God.
No, that ain't your shout. That's my shout. I should have been gone.
My God.
I hit a pole. I should have been gone. I've been in places I shouldn't have been. I should have been gone. I got some health issues I've had in my life. I should have been gone. They tell your heart will never be any good. You'll never do. I should have been gone according to the doctor's standard. But the Lord has prepared me because the Lord has helped me. And look at me now. I can still say what thus said the Lord. I can still stand on what thus said the Lord. Did you not hear? Hey, she can still say, no matter what Corona said, I heard God and everything's going to be all right. Somebody not hearing this today, no matter what they said about you, whatever what they said over you, no matter what your service, the Lord helps us. The Lord is helping you. The Lord wants to be with you. The Lord wants to provide for you. All we got to do is turn away from our wicked ways, turn away from our selfish ways, turn away from doing it on our own, and allow God to be who God is.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He's the Lord who helps us.
Hallelujah.
Helps us on our job, helps us in our home, helps us when we're lonely, helps us when we're fearful, helps us when we have wayward children, helps us when the enemy is attacking in ways that we never thought of. What? The first thing is stop believing the white lie, because no lie is a good lie. Lie is a lie, and the only truth is the word of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, it don't stop there, y'all. How do I know? How do I know? How do I know? Because I know what it said in Matthew. In Matthew 28, 5 and 6, and the angel said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. They said he was dead, but that was a lie. Jesus ain't dead. Jesus is alive. They went to look, but he was not there. He got up with all power. I don't know about you, but I believe what the word said. He wasn't there. They still trying to tell us that Jesus don't live. They still trying to tell us he was just a prophet. They still trying to tell us he got no rule. We got to respect this. No, the truth is, I believe in Jesus. I surrender to Jesus. I follow Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. And for him, I'm going to follow to the day he comes get me, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He has given me all power over the heavens and the earth. He's given me all power over men in the name of Jesus. All I got to do is stand.
My God.
And then that one little thing. When I do something wrong, humble myself and say, Lord, forgive me.
Yes.
Which he's already promised that he would do. It gets good. It gets good. That's why it says. That's why it says in Hebrews. Hebrews 4. Look what it says. Look what it says. And look, Hebrews 4, 16. Let us therefore, because of all that God has done, because of who God is, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may what? Obtain mercy. We obtain mercy when we come boldly. Yeah. Oh God, I'm so sorry. Lord, I didn't mean to do it again. You know, Lord, no. Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for what I've done. Lord, I am sorry that I lied. Lord, I am sorry that I was sick. I was tired. Lord, I am sorry I didn't trust you. Lord, I am sorry that I wouldn't surrender all that I had to you. Lord, I'm sorry I've stored up my treasures in my house and in my bank account and in my children. And Lord, I am so sorry, forgive me. We ought to be written our clothes to come before God. But then look at what happens, like, that we may obtain mercy.
Yes.
His mercy is what? That we're not going to get what we deserve. And for what? Find grace. Find his grace. Not just to have grace. Oh, I got my grace, so I'm okay. No, find grace to help us in time of need. All of us are in a time of need.
Yes.
Some need peace. Some need joy. Some need long suffering. Lord, I know this struggle ain't over, but you got me in the midst of it, but I'm okay. Because, Lord, I know you planted me here for a reason.
Okay.
Then he go to 13. He says, what? 35. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee. This is God. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord helps us, and I will not fear what man shall do it to me. I don't know about you, but I don't care how many people want to reject the truth. I don't care how many pastors and how many lay people and how many non-believers don't want to be on what God says. And we want our division on the left and our division on the right. They want to be Republican. They want to be Democrat. I don't care, because that don't matter. All I know is that it's about Jesus Christ, and as long as I preach Jesus, one day, they're all going to surrender, because they're going to learn the error of their ways.
Okay.
Just like I have to understand the error of my ways, we're going to learn, understand the error of our ways when we follow after the little lies that take us away from the truth of the word. But when we speak the truth, hallelujah, when we speak the truth, Jesus. I've been showing you this for a few weeks. Oswald Chambers said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? We all have some measure of faith. So we all have some measure of faith. So it would be faith in good principles, in good management, and common sense. But who amongst us has faith in Jesus Christ? Physical courage is a grand, moral courage is grander. But the man who trusts Jesus Christ in the face of the terrific problems of life is worth a whole crowd of heroes.
Okay.
You have faith in Jesus Christ, it covers a multitude of sins.
Yes, it does.
It covers a multitude of the problems. It covers all the things that go sideways that are trying to go for the right way. That's what he says. That's what he says. So today, we need to know the Lord helps us. The Lord helps us. The Lord is helping you. The Lord is helping you, and he's helping those around us, and he's helping those who don't think there's help. And when he helps those who understand, there becomes a light that goes off. And so today, as we prepare, as we want you to understand that there is no greater love. There's no greater love. I have so many songs, but this is a new one being introduced to us. And there's no greater love. And this no greater love is an awesome thing. It says there is no greater love than the love from the God we serve. And as we listen, then we will pray. There's no greater love than the God we serve. There's no greater love than the God we serve. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.